And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
Welcome to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker in. Chris Brown's got the day off. Eric Wood is also going to join me via Zoom. He's going to co-host all 2 hours today. We're going to come at you with a little bit of OTAs. We got the practice today. I was watching practice a little bit. I welcome Eric Wood in. Eric, I stood next to Murph for practice today. We were talking about it. I guess you guys are starting to wind up and get ready for the broadcast this season. And welcome in. Thanks for doing the show today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Anytime. Love coming on. I can't believe they gave Chris Brown the day off for the first day of OTAs. Like, that's a pretty significant off-season event. There's much more lackluster days in an NFL offseason than the first day of OTAs. But his loss, my gain here today. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back in the booth with Murph. You get back to some normalcy last year, and you filled in admirably with much more broadcast experience than I may ever have to bring to the table. So you filled in admirably 2 years ago, but it was so much fun being back in the booth last year and looking forward to hopefully just continuing to get back to what the normalcy of the broadcast booth is, because it's so much fun. And
yeah,
coming back as a former player, and shoot, we get out to Jim Kelly's tailgate before the game. I can't partake in any beverages like most of the rest of the crew does, but I get to see that whole crew before the game. After the game, I will partake in one or two.
Right.
And just getting back to that rhythm of being around the game is just so much fun.
Yeah, it is so nice. And you're right. I mean, this is the time of year, and you get it. I mean, if we're going to take time, Brownie and I are going to take, we both kind of decide we're not taking time off during this. You know, you really can't, right? It's a grind. And it's like rolling downhill. There's just no time to get off, right? So you have to kind of go. It's almost 7 days a week during the season for all of us, you know, in the broadcast industry. So if we're taking time off, man, now's the time, right? It's this barren wasteland. Even barren wasteland in June, July, that is just like nothing's going on. Late July, they kind of pick up with training camp. But, man, oh, man, all of June and this part of May when you got some OTAs, that's actually a fun, kind of an island of activity that you can get out. But we got to take our time, man. We got to get out of here for a minute. This season, all of us should have gotten out of Buffalo in April, because it stunk up here the entire month. But Brownie's taking a welcome day off. Thanks for coming. And you're right. I kind of envy you, man, doing the team this year from the booth. It was nice to get back into the swing last year. You actually traveled with the team. Well, you were on the road with the team for the season. We didn't get to do that in 2020 because of COVID. And now to wind up and have the Bills as, like, and I don't want to say, well, just say it, far and away the favorite in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're a juggernaut offense. They had the number one defense. I mean, they're a wrecking crew, Woods. They're a wrecking crew. And it's going to be fun for you guys to be in the booth and watch this team go from start to finish.
It will be. When you look at the roster that they've been able to keep so many guys around and then add to it, and we could fill the full 2 hours talking about the roster breakdown. We'll save that for another day when you guys are truly bored in July. But when you look at last year, and you know, I know this has been expressed so many times on the show this offseason, but you're 13 seconds away from being a favorite in the AFC Championship game at home, and then likely a favorite or even maybe a pick 'em in the Super Bowl. I'd like to say, you know, the Bills would have been a favorite over Cincinnati. That spread ended up being pretty small against the Rams out in LA. And you're not going to get a tremendous home field advantage out there. It's Super Bowl week. Yes, you don't have to travel, but you're going to be out there for the entire week. Bills Mafia is going to have twice the amount of fans in there as this franchise that just moved to LA. Yeah, I just think, you know, the Bills, I think everyone recognizes that the Bills should have won it last year. They understand the character of this organization, the character of the guys, bringing everybody back. They're going to be hungrier than ever. This isn't a heartbroken organization. I'm still heartbroken, but as I continue to talk to Bean and McDermott and Josh and all these guys, they're not heartbroken anymore. They might be a little more pissed off, but they're not heartbroken. And
yeah,
so That has, and then they add a quality draft to it, and that's why no matter where you're looking online, they're the unanimous betting favorite to win the Super Bowl at this point.
Right, and I've said it a lot before. It's easy, and you remember this as a player. It's easier for the coaches and players to get away from the 13 seconds than it is for us. We have to stew about it for like 8 months. But those guys, you know, even today I saw them out. They got something they're thinking about. They're moving on. They got to keep going. The offseason keeps rolling. The draft comes up. The combine comes up. The Senior Bowl comes up. You know, OTAs, rookie minicamp, signing the rookie. You know, they're moving on. They haven't got time to think about 13 seconds, you know. And it's the same thing, you know, back when I played, and I know you can relate to this as well. You don't stew over a bad loss during the season. Certainly you use it as motivation, but man, oh man, you're working towards the next one. You got something more important to think about than something you can't control anymore. And the fans have to think about it and kind of live with it all week until the next game. The players, that's that 24-hour rule. You can stew about it or celebrate it, but, man, you're moving on. And I think that's what, you know, this team is in the mode of doing, right? I mean, they had a lot going on. They got a lot of things to feel really good about. And like some people, and I think I could feel this, you know, after that Kansas City game, man, I was wishing they had another game. You know, I'm ready for it to start again. Let's kick it off. You know, I mean, this has been a long off season. I know that's been going on, you know, the draft and all those things I mentioned. But, man, oh, man, let's kick it off. I'm kind of ready to watch these guys.
Yeah, and you made a lot of very good points there that when you're – the fans have to wait till next Sunday. We have to rebound. I remember all the time I'd be sitting in the locker room, and it'd be a Wednesday, and – you know, you'd get Tim Graham or some, you know, all the regulars in the locker room. Well, they still had a few questions left on last week. I'm like, man, we're so far beyond that right now. But sure, I'll respect you and give you a tidbit there. But, you know, when you look at this team for next year, you know as well as anybody, back in the late 80s, early 90s, leading up to those four Super Bowls was an AFC championship appearance, a divisional round lost, and then four Super Bowls. And I'm not saying that's going to be the exact trajectory of this team, but what it does is the AFC championship gives you the confidence that you belong with the big boys. And then the divisional loss pisses you off enough that, okay, now we're confident and ticked off. Okay, now we're going to go do something with this.
There's something in that too, because I'll say this. There are teams that come out of nowhere, i.e. the Cincinnati Bengals. They kind of caught lightning in a bottle. Man, let's go. It's going to be hard for them to replicate that, right? Yeah. I mean, because they didn't have this pitfalls. You know, like the Bills, this is where they feel like they belong there. This wasn't like something that they all of a sudden got. You got to feel like if you're a Buffalo Bill and they earned every scrap that they've gotten, you know, through hard, you know, Josh's rookie season, they getting up there and the debacle at the last game in Houston that they still kind of think about. Then you come back and, you know, couldn't get to the playoffs, you know, and then all of that stuff was in there after getting to the playoffs with Tyrod, then out of them, then back in with Josh, and then getting so close, you know, in the Chiefs game. And then coming back next year and being just as good, maybe even a better football team, and losing one step sooner in a more excruciating fashion. You feel like it's you tell me. I can't. It's hard to describe. You feel like it's your birthright. We are going to get there, and we have to get there. Otherwise, we cannot be satisfied. And you know that, especially this team, you got to get it every single week to get home field advantage, and that makes an enormous difference when you have to go to Kansas City or you have to go to someplace else to play these playoff games. You realize through hard lessons that it ain't easy to go there, particularly when you have to go on the road in the playoff and all the different little lessons you have to learn.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I wish I could say it from experience. You got to live that from experience. Our role in 2017 and even before was, first, we got to break this dang drought.
Right.
You know, we can't just let this keep sitting on our head. And then it's to set the culture moving forward so we can sustain the success. I mean, when we would talk about the early 90s Bills teams, and we're not sitting around the facility on a day-to-day basis holding team meetings, bragging on the rosters, it'd be more, hey, all the guys are coming back in for Jim's golf tournament, or maybe all around one game. And we start looking around the roster and we're like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of Hall of Famers on that team, and you that you add to the Hall of Famers, you and you could do many more than me, but then you add the Will Wolfords, the Ken Halls, the Steve Taskers, the Cornelius Bennett's, the Freddie Smirlesses, and the list goes on and on and on. You're like, wow, that's an all-star team, literally, that you're rolling out every Sunday. And as you look down this Bills roster right now, it reminds me of similar things. You have what should be a Hall of Fame quarterback, countless Pro Bowlers around. You're bringing in big-time free agents, a Cornelius Bennett. Okay, now you got your Von Miller on the edge. You know, there's just, to me, there's a lot of similarities between where this franchise was at in the late 90s, early 80s, and where they're at right now.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, and it's going to be a lot of fun to catch this game. I'm Eric Wood, Steve Tasker here till 2 o'clock, till 3 o'clock for the next 2 hours. We're going to recap Sean McDermott. We're going to let you listen to the entire Sean McDermott press conference that happened about 11 a.m. this morning, just before he went out on the practice field. We're going to re-rack that at 2 o'clock and let you listen to that. A lot of stuff to talk about, the OTAs. A couple of guys, and Sean McDermott said this, you know, there's a couple of guys injured, and they're going to be, you know, they're not practicing these guys if they don't have to. A lot of soft tissue stuff, as you can imagine. Also, what came out as well, after last week, and Eric, I know you're well aware of the tragedy that struck our city last week. The Bills went down there. The Sabres went down there. The Bandits, the coaching staff, the commissioner, Bruce came back. Thurman and Jim made appearances down there. I was down there for a minute. A lot of stuff going on, and a lot of it was made about the shirts those guys were wearing that kind of symbolized where everybody's at. And it was just, it was called Choose Love. Sean McDermott even spoke about it today in his press conference. Those T-shirts are going to be made available to the Buffalo public. And all the proceeds obviously are going to make their way to the families of the affected people of the victims of that shooting. And I just want to make sure we don't go anywhere without acknowledging that it continues to move and that you can continue to be involved. And I hope that all the people out there listening will continue to think about the victims and how our city responded to such a heinous act. And I'm so thankful for the citizens in our city and the way they responded, and the politicians and the clergy, and of course, just everyday people who make a huge difference in our lives every day. So I know, Eric, you were from afar, you know, being in Louisville, you had to be just aching over what happened here in Buffalo.
Yeah, I was, and I would have come in town. We had guests coming into Louisville last weekend, and I was unable to make it up. I will be up there within the next week and a half and trying to support any way that I possibly can. And I understand that I am not going to make a world of difference, but it's going to take everybody throughout this time. And maybe there is value in me coming on a delay up there and not right after the fact, in that me and Thurman Thomas talked about this on my podcast, What's Next with Eric Wood, last week. When a wedding, you know, when there's a funeral, so many people are there to support that family. People support them with meals and flowers and gift cards and everything else at that time. They show up and they give them their presents. Well, a month later, no one's there and you're still sitting there with the loss of a loved one.
Yeah.
Let's exactly what you said, Steve, that I'm glad Sean brought it up today, but I hope we're bringing this up in a month from now. I know that throughout the preseason and the regular season, I hope there's moments of silence that are just continued to continue to remind people, because you never think this is going to happen in your hometown. And Buffalo was hometown for me for 9 years and continue to be a place where I spend at least 10 weeks a year, and generally 15 or 20 weeks a year I'm spending time in Buffalo. This is a city that I absolutely love, and you never think that something like this could happen in our town. But it did.
Well, we're going to continue to live and thrive here. Our city's going to live and thrive, and we're better for it. And I'm going to continue to champion the East Side and the people down there and the wonderful people they are. And I would, when you do come in town, Eric, I'd encourage you to go down to that Tops on Jefferson and say hi to people. It's a good experience, and it's very moving, and it's something we should all do to touch base with what happened to us. And I'll say this, Eric Wood in for Chris Brown. He's got the day off. You mentioned Thurman, who came down. You had Thurman on your podcast, What's Next. Give us an idea of, you know, I'm sure you touched on this Jefferson Avenue thing, and also Thurman's, I can't tell you, listen, it was like literally minutes when we found out what had happened, and Thurman and Patty had their foundation revved up, accepting donations that were going to funnel right through it. So, you know, give us an idea what you and Thurman had to talk about on what's next.
Yeah, well, so Thurman has two daughters that live within three blocks of that Tops. Thurman was traveling back into Buffalo, unable to get a hold of his daughters at the time. I can't even imagine putting myself in Thurman's shoes during that time. They hop right into action. And part of the reason they did it is they recognize that in any situation like this, there's going to be people that will take advantage of the situation and try and profit from it financially. Well, Patty and Thurman, what they are doing is they are accepting donations. They will direct that money directly to helping out with this cause without taking any management fee at all. So every single dollar that you're donating, there's not even in that small fee for, you know, a GoFundMe or anything else. Every dollar will be going directly towards these families. So Leslie and I, my wife, we supported from Louisville. We want to be able to support. And, you know, I've heard it said before, you support the communities that helped you gain success. Yeah. I literally had $0 in my bank account the day I showed up to play for the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
People have made a lot more money in their careers than I have. Regardless, we live a comfortable lifestyle because of the city of Buffalo and the Buffalo Bills franchise. That's the only team I played for.
Right.
That being said, we want to support any way we can. And I encourage anyone out there, if you're concerned at all about donating to a cause and you're concerned at all, like maybe this money isn't being directly given to the families and supporting directly on the east side, Thurman and Patty Thomas will make sure that money is directed appropriately.
Yeah, that's well said. And also, you're right. My wife and I made it home when we came here. A lot of guys don't, but that doesn't mean just because they have homes and they go back, like you in Louisville, everybody else, you know, Bruce is in Richmond or Virginia Beach, and, you know, all these guys go back to their homes that I knew and played with. That doesn't mean they don't love Buffalo, because they do. To a man, they all had a fantastic experience here, and they're all invested in our community just like you have been. And it's wonderful to see. And I think for the foreseeable future, we're going to at least take a couple of minutes on a regular basis and remind people of where we're at with the Jefferson Avenue. I know that it's a fast news cycle, and people rinse through and they're on to the next thing. But it's our city, and I think we're going to continue to talk about this and the positives that we can make out of it in the face of the tragedy. So thanks for doing that with me. I appreciate it. There's a lot going on in the NFL. Eric Wood in with Steve Tasker on One Bills Live. We're here till 3. Stuff going on in the league, and like you said, you know, this is the time for us to take time off because nothing's going on. Well, it's day 2 of the NFL meetings. Interestingly enough, the Pro Bowl comes up on the agenda. Right. And when I played in the Pro Bowl, I got to say, and I'm not just being one of those old guys, it was a game, you know, it was pretty much a game. But I'll say this, I was in 7 Pro Bowls over 9 years. Okay. So I was in it for a year, out for 2, and then back in it for like 6. Right. So 8 years, I guess, or 9 years. Okay. So I was in it for a long time. And during that decade, it did kind of change. Right? So the new CBA came in, free agency happened, guys were coming in. Some of these guys were playing in this game, and we're making $20,000 if you win. And it wasn't even covering their expenses to bring their family, right? So you can imagine that their foot was not on the accelerator in that game, right? And it has, you know, evolved from that. So now they're thinking, all right, what are we
going
to do?
I lost money going to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. We were on the losing team. I brought 14 guests with me.
I did the exact same thing.
And I lost money.
I did the exact same thing. I mean, I'll tell you what, in the fourth quarter, I was busting a gut on a close game to try and win, because that was the difference between making it worth it or paying for a vacation, right?
Right.
So you can imagine. It's kind of the same thing now, right? I mean, these guys, listen, I'm a guy like one of these quarterbacks, they're making 20 plus, 30 plus million, 25 anyway, million. They're all making over 15 million, right? They're going to go out and bust a gut for even $100,000? Come on. So, anyway.
Well, and it's not in Hawaii anymore.
Right.
So part of the beauty of it was you get to take this trip to Hawaii And I'm not saying Hawaii is the end all be all for a vacation, but you're isolated. It's this isolated place that you go to connect. Well, you switch it to Orlando and you're it's a family trip going to Disney World. There's other people at the park. And I'm not saying that, you know, my family, my kids wouldn't love to go to Disney World, but there's just something special about a pool party in Hawaii that is the ultimate fellowship of NFL ball players, the best of the best. And there's just something special about that. You move it from Hawaii and then it's in Arizona and it's kind of chilly that time of year. Well, there's no pool party anymore. What are we doing? Hanging out in a ballroom? Right. Hey, why don't we all just go on a trip together and scrap getting our heads beat in? I was also playing in the game when Tyler Eifert broke his foot and missed half of the next season on a play in the Pro Bowl. So that, you know, everyone says, well, you're not likely to get injured. Well, for some it does. And Tyler Eifert never had a productive season after that. It was the second time he broke his foot. He never had a productive season after that moment.
You're right. There is some, and it's not that there's anything wrong with people, but it's crowded. You go to Orlando. I was down there. I did the Westwood One broadcast of the Pro Bowl on radio. They did the game on radio and I was the analyst. And you go down there and watch practice and all that. It is an absolute zoo, a zoo. It's unbelievable the amount of people that go out to watch practice. And, but let's face it, it's a cool event for fans. But for the players, if it's a reward for what they do, I'm with you. And I'll say this, and not for nothing. I was there when it was in Hawaii the whole time I was doing it. And it was special because they put us out at a resort around the side of the island. And it was a place called, I don't even know if it still exists, the Ihilani. And five-star resort, and it was kind of closed off. It was the NFL had the whole thing, so it was private, and I could sit down and have my wife and I could sit down and have a poolside drink with Rod Woodson and his wife and all these guys and Reggie White and all these guys that were there. Even AFC NFC, we were all in the same hotel. It was fantastic, but it was a different experience. And if you're going to reward these guys, you know, you kind of need to make it worth it, not just for them, but remember, it's for their families, because the guys got to live with their wives and kids, and if they don't have a good time or if it's not fun, what are they doing? That's why you get a lot of it is why the injury risk and the fun and how, you know, what else you can do with the same funds. You can do a private trip with your wife and kids who they'll enjoy it more. So it's really a problem for the NFL, and it's on the agenda here at the owners' meetings.
How tough was it to call the Pro Bowl this year on the radio?
Oh, I didn't do it this year. I was like nine doing it. I did it a few years ago in Orlando. It's not even a practice.
Right. Yeah, because so then you're not breaking down the game. You're looking, it's almost like just four quarters of blowout coverage. And yes, there's some entertainment, there's some play, but you know, there's a play-by-play aspect, especially on the radio, because someone has to describe the what for those that are listening and don't have access to a TV. So there's the what, but I can't imagine explaining the why on some of these plays, similar to the ones that for those that are watching on TV there, when you're splitting three defenders for a touchdown and no one wants to go make a tackle on them. I can't imagine being the color analyst or even the sideline analyst, especially for that.
All right, here's the thing now, Eric. If you, like a totally blank slate, what would you do in place of the Pro Bowl?
Okay, so here's my thing. If they're truly saying that they have to change the on-field product now, then I don't know the answer. Maybe it's just simply an all-star challenge and, you know, those skills challenges throughout the week. Maybe that's your Sunday coverage and you eliminate the rest of it. Here's my thing. When people used to complain about the Pro Bowl and complain about the product, I'd say turn it off. It's not about you. This isn't necessarily truly a competition. This is a celebration. If you don't enjoy this celebration, then turn it off.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I'll tell you the truth. For me, interestingly enough, I think it might be a better or more interesting, if you're talking about what kind of broadcast you want to put together, right?
Yeah.
It might be more interesting to see these guys in a different environment than with helmets and shoulder pads. And I don't even mean a skills competition. You know, I'm talking more about like red carpet. You know, for the ESPYs, or it could be something completely different. Like we had 10,000 people show up to the Micah Hyde softball tournament this year softball game this year. Something that gets these guys out of their this normal environment so you can get a chance to interact, maybe not interact with these guys directly, but watch them interact with each other in a more social environment, see them away from football in some way, shape, or form. I get the skills competition, the fun that would be for a lot of people. But that's it's a real hard question. How to celebrate these guys and their football abilities? And because I'll tell you, if it's not a competition, you'll get – the big guys would show up then. These guys that don't want any part of going to Orlando and the crowds and the sea of people, you might get them to show up a little more if it was something more enticing for them.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And, you know, football is just so different than other sports. In the NBA, it can get physical, but it's not nearly ever as physical. The injury rate's not nearly as high as football. And so their all-star game is 180 to 150, but no one really cares. And you still see the dunks and you still see the exciting plays. In baseball, you don't see anyone running over a catcher. They're not going to get a foot stepped on first base. There is there's a little bit of drawback in each sport, but it's just a lot different than playing an actual football game, as physical it is, because the injury risk isn't there. You know, I don't know what exactly it would be. I'll say this. You mentioned the red carpet deal. As I was watching the draft with my kids, my daughter was like, "Dad, this is the coolest fashion show I've ever seen." I said, "Well, it's not a fashion show, but you're right. These rookies that are all suited to the nines, maybe it's interviews, maybe it's a panel up there. Maybe you put Pat McAfee up there with them and let Pat have some fun with these guys in a theater setting, and you give them a big donation to a charity of their choice or something." But to your point, these big guys, these big name guys, Tom Brady and whatnot, they're getting paid seven figures for a couple appearances. Well, now they're getting paid 56 grand if they win the game to go play in a football game, and you got to show up for 6 days. That's a lot of lost revenue, and you're doing free appearances. I remember one day when we were at the Pro Bowl, they kept us way too long in an appearance, and Eli Manning were on the bus ride back, and Eli Manning gets on his cell phone, calls somebody. He goes, "Hey, good news, guys. It doesn't recoup everyone's time, but they're going to open up the bar at the hotel for us for 2 hours when we get back as a thank you." And it's like, because they literally just roped us out of an extra hour and a half of our time. My time's not that valuable.
Some guys are.
Manning, an hour and a half appearance is probably 25 or 30 grand.
That's right. They could make more money in 2 days just showing up at a bar mitzvah or a birthday party or an engagement party or a wedding. They could make more than that in 2 days than they would win in the football game. That's just the way it is. That's the market. So, yeah, it's interesting. We should ask if I would love it if somebody called us, some fan called us today. You can call us at 716-803-0550 or 888-552-550. What's your idea? Because I don't have one. I don't know what the thing is. It's got to be interesting enough to get me to watch it on TV. And I'm vested in this thing, all right? I've got skin in this game. I do this for a living. So if you can come up with an interesting idea for me to get me to watch it on TV and in place of the Pro Bowl football game, I'll listen. If you want to call, 803-0550 or 888-552-550. Steve Tasker, Eric Wood here till 3 o'clock. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the stuff going on around the league. OTAs are breaking out all over the league. We've got Nick Foles has signed with the Colts. The Steelers are looking from their GMs. Former GM of the Bills, Doug Whaley, is going to be a finalist for that job. Got a lot to talk about that. We've got the owners' meetings that will continue to break down, and Sean McDermott coming up at the top of the hour, his press conference that happened at 11 a.m. We'll show you that in its entirety. Steve Tasker, Eric Wood, we're going to take a break. OBL, this is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, brought to you by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Live. A little change of plan here. I asked for an idea for the Pro Bowl, and actually, as soon as I did that, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, put out a tweet, and here's his idea. He says, have the current Pro Bowlers play against the past era of Pro Bowlers. This is right down his alley, right? Him and T.O., right? They want guys like an old school versus new school. You don't even need pads. It'll be a flag format. He thinks a lot of – because you could have some former stars, some huge names. You could get Brett Favre to come back and play flag football. I mean, him and Jerry Rice do it for commercials, right? Just have those guys, the old guys versus the new guys in a flag football game or in some sort of competition. He says a flag football game. I get it. What do you think, Eric?
I actually think it's a great idea. And I know it immediately – and when this is initially rolled out, I will definitely watch because I want to see what type of shape these older dudes are in. Now, if it's the same cast and crew of former guys every single year, maybe I'm not as into it. But the first year especially, I want to see if a Deion Sanders can cover a Stephon Diggs in a flag football format. To me, that's very entertaining. And put up some cash on the line. If the big networks are buying the coverage of it, there's a good amount of money out there that can be paid to these guys. So make it appealing to the former guys as well. You just can't roll out the same former guys every single year because there's only so many that are staying in good enough shape. There's only so many Chad Ochocinco's. There's only so many T.O.'s and those guys that look the part. Steve, you know as well as I do, you go to a charity golf outing with a bunch of former NFL alumni. Not everybody looks the part anymore.
Yeah, it's not pretty. You're right. And here's the thing, too, Eric, and you can appreciate this. At flag football, what are the big guys going to do? Anthony Munoz is going to come back and play for the Oregon. He's not going to play. I mean, he doesn't even, it's a different game. So you're not going to have guys, the big guys don't get a take. It's all for the skill guys, right? It's for the Calvin Johnsons of the world and the Barry Sanders of the world. And it's not for guys like you, guys like Anthony Munoz, all these offensive linemen, defensive linemen, nose tackles. Vince Wilfork is going to come back and stand there and play flag football. It's not going to happen. That's a problem.
It is, but I think you can honor the O-lineman in a different type of way. Maybe have a center snapping out there because that's all I wanted to do in the Pro Bowl anyway, sitting there
right?
And snap and stand there anyways. So I'd be completely fine with that, especially if they need a former, even though I'm not going to look the part of a center anymore. I make fun of the receivers and the running backs that put on weight. Well, I don't look like I did when I played either. Right. So I'm not saying I could hop on an NFL field nowadays and do my job, but let the O-line hang out because that's all they want to do anyways.
Right.
Let the defensive linemen hang out. Now, those pass rushers, they wanted to get their sacks. Maybe they can play some outside linebacker. Maybe there's a role for some of those athletes on the edge. But Vince, Sue, those guys don't want to play in the Pro Bowl either. They don't want to go bang their head 60 times in a game.
That's right. Okay, so here's what we're gonna let you
in the grill and the cooler.
That's right. Exactly. Right. It's a picnic. So, all right, we got PJ from Tonawanda and also Buzz from Buffalo. We're gonna get to yours after the break. Right now, we're gonna take a minute and we're gonna listen to some Sean McDermott. We're gonna bring Sean McDermott now because here's what's gonna happen. We thought we were gonna do Sean McDermott at the top of the hour, but we're gonna have Josh and some other players almost live on the air here. We're gonna re-rack it and run it back a few seconds after they say it. And we're gonna run Sean McDermott right now. So this is Sean McDermott speaking to the Buffalo media this morning at about 11 a.m. Here's Coach McDermott.
Sean, before we get into some of the football stuff, do you have a sense in coming off of last week and your team's involvement and everything that happened down on Jefferson Avenue? Is there maybe a bit of a change in perspective in there, or maybe a change in tone that you could put your finger on?
Change in tone from
in terms of what the players have been through and showing up and showing their support and engaging with the community. Does that carry over into a week that will obviously be on a week like this? But did you have a sense of a change in any respect in the locker room?
I mean, we've got a good locker room. But there's also new players in that locker room that have come from other cities, other states, and this is the first situation, if you will, that. I saw our team come together as one, and as you saw it last week, head downtown. And listen, we're a part of the community, and when the community is affected, we do our best to step up and do our part. I think the slogan of choosing love is a good one. It's in the Bible, and I think that love has a tendency to fix a lot of problems and challenges out there. And So it's, I think it was good. I know it was good to be down there. And, I also know a lot, some of the funerals are this week. And so we're thinking of those family members that are still going through it and will continue to be going through it.
When you mentioned the new players who, you know, just got here and are getting acclimated to Buffalo as all this is happening, do you have extra discussions or does the team have extra discussions with those players to kind of let them know more about Buffalo while all this is happening at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we try and do that when we onboard these players, and then through the process of educating the team in the spring and then all, on through training camp as well. And then some of those conversations, kind of those one-offs, take place in the locker room organically or when the guys do hang out off the fields from time to time.
Okay, let's get into some football. So what are these new additions on offense, plus, you know, with a new offensive coordinator? What would you gauge the learning curve, and what are your expectations as far as evolving during OTAs?
Yeah, you know, you're seeing, you know, Dorsey out there and Matt Smiley, and so there's some newness to what they're doing and their drills that they like and how they want to do things in terms of running the offense or the special teams, in this case with Matt Smiley, and that's good, you know, but there's that newness, I think, causes a little bit of uncertainty maybe on the front end. But we work through that, and they're finding their cadence and their rhythm, and I think that'll continue through the spring and on into training camp. At some point, you know, they're going to get into their flow as well, and I think the players will follow here as they get a little bit more comfortable and more experienced being around the leadership of Matt and Ken both.
Hey, Sean, this is, I guess it's your sixth OTAs sessions for the Bills. If you, what do you think you've learned most from 2017? Now, as to how you go about this part of the year, have you changed anything drastically, or what do you think you're doing differently now that you're the rookie coach?
Yeah, a lot, I would say. I was just talking with one of the visiting coaches that is in visiting us from a college, and you know, he's been a head coach for a number of years as well. And we were just conversing on how you go through the years, and you start off as a rookie head coach, and you're saying, you know, now in year six for me at least, man, if I can't believe I kept the job in the first year, because how you evolve, and if you're doing it right, I think, you know, you're always evolving, you're always growing, and it is, I think it's healthy to look back and say, man, I can't believe what I didn't know then that I know now, and how it serves me now to be the best coach that I can be for our team and our coaching staff. So I just think there's a lot of things that you grow through. The experience factor is real. You know, I would say, you know, just specifically to answer your question, Sal, I think, you know, just being a little bit more understanding, I think, this time of year of when guys aren't here. I think that's big, although it is important, and we take that seriously that they are here. It is voluntary, and they are humans as well, and they have things going on. You know, it was referenced earlier from Adam about, you know, all the things going on downtown. That leads to perspective, and it also leads to perspective for the players, right? From they have families, they have things that they're going through, and they need this time of year some time once in a while. And so although I'd love them all to be here, you know, it's maybe unrealistic to think that that's always going to be the case.
We've said the word continuity in this room a lot over the years. This year, there's some changes with coaches, with personnel, like there are every year. What positives, if any, come with the changes that you get to see with your team?
Yeah, I think change is good, and it can be good if handled the right way. You know, I'm excited about, as I said before, the people we have in the building. We've got a number of new coaches, and I think that's exciting. We've been able to bring in some veteran coaches as well as some younger coaches who are wet behind the ears just a little bit, and it's exciting to watch them have a true passion for the game and for the coaching business and want to learn. As we talk about that learning, that growth mindset, you know, and put in the hours to advance. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that feels this from time to time, that what's happening more and more in our society is that people want things without working for them. And it's good to have young coaches in the building that are working for it and willing to put in the time, to pay the price, before they're ready for their next title or handout. And I think that's refreshing, and that just says to me that we've got the right people.
When you look at Josh's maturation over the four years, what have you seen in him that's allowed him to evolve or tap into what inherent leadership qualities that he had growing up to become the real... He seems to be the leader in the face of this franchise at this moment to have evolved into that person over the course of these 5 years or so.
So you're always so deep, John.
We watched this happy-go-lucky. He's happy-go-lucky, but there are times where, we're seeing the maturation. He signed a big contract. It didn't go to his head last year. Every time we see him, he seems to be saying the right things, be it on the field at Salins Park for the softball game, or doing the right things. And just what is it that you've seen in his development, I guess?
I think, I'll give some credit to our plan and for Josh when we brought him on board. But I think a lot of the credit has to go to the way he was raised, his mom and his dad, the support system that he had at home. We talk about work ethic a few minutes ago. Certainly growing up on and around a farm, there's work ethic instilled in you, and there's also a set of core values that were instilled in him years ago. By his mom and his dad, and I know he was close with his grandparents as well, and still is. So, that was for us, shifting it back to us, is that was part of the evaluation where, getting a job is one thing, but being willing to put the work in to become really good at things is hard to find these days, right? So, as I referenced earlier, so I think Josh has matured, and then he's also, used and drawn from that support system and those core values that he was taught years ago.
John, what are you looking to get out of the players in this phase of the OTA
workouts? We want to stay healthy. I think that's important. We want to get healthier than where we are right now as well. And as I mentioned earlier, some players going through a couple things, and then. I think the chemistry is big, chemistry of just getting to know one another, building that trust that needs to be there, because there are new pieces to it, as well as the coach-player relationship amongst the new pieces that we have in the coaching staff as well. So all of that is important, that gelling of the team this time of year, and it'll continue on through training camp. And then we do have some new players that really need to get up to speed on our systems, offensively, defensively, special teams, so that then when they go into the off season, that 3 or 4 week period there, that they can, really rely on that notebook to study and enhance what they do when they come back in training camp.
Sean, to get healthier, how is Tre'Davious White on his road to recovery?
Yeah,
right
he's
now?
On schedule, Heather, and he continues to work hard. I don't really have any updates for you, other than he is on schedule, and I've just been very impressed by his work ethic.
Is Jordan
Poyer
here for OTAs, and where do
you think he's? Yeah, no, we're he's not here, and we certainly miss having him here. And got a glimpse of him at the softball game the other day, and had a chance to have a good conversation with him there. But just business is business right now, and we're focused on the guys that are here.
That was Sean McDermott earlier today. We did that now because at the top of the hour, actually right this minute, Josh is speaking to the media, and we're going to re-rack that and give you that at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break here. One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. We'll be right back with a little bit more and more players live from the podium after this. Eric Wood here with you until 3 o'clock. We're going to go to the phones. We've been talking about what we could do to improve the Pro Bowl, that kind of stuff. We're going to talk to PJ in Tonawanda. PJ, you're on with Steve Tasker, Eric Wood, and you've got an idea for the Pro Bowl. What's on your mind?
I do, Steve and Eric. How are you, by the way? Pleasure to talk to you.
Good. Thanks for holding on so long. Appreciate it. What do you got? What idea is it?
It's sort of like a survivor format. You get as many of the guys, you pick a number, and they go through, whether it be physical things, intellectual, team puzzles, escape rooms, and whoever the team captain is picks what event these guys go to, and then if your team loses, you got to vote someone off. I mean, there's a whole thing, a list of various events that can be done. I think the you do it all week long instead of practicing for a football game. They're being filmed, so you can edit it and show the funny clips, things like that. And I think it would be interesting if Buffalo Bill – oh, no, they won't be in this because they're going to be in the Super Bowl.
There you go.
But if a Miami Dolphin was a captain – and voted a New York Jet off, there'd be some some tension there, maybe.
Yeah, if all the guys, yeah.
Some fun comments.
Yeah, if all the guys in the AFC East voted Tom Brady off the team, yeah, I get you. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Eric? It would kind of depend on the interesting tasks these guys had to perform, but I get it. PJ, thanks for the call. That's a good idea. Eric, what do you think about just having like a survivor where you could have them go through these different trials and tribulations, both intellectual, teamwork oriented, athletically oriented, all of that? It's kind of interesting, and it would be a bigger play. It would be a kind of a play on the survivor kind of theme.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things to do for like a couple's game night, whether they're drinking games or board games, is a survivor aspect because of the awkwardness it causes when you have to vote somebody off. So I absolutely love that aspect of it. And as he was talking, until he said pre-recorded, I was thinking, well, is this something you can gamble on? And, you know, when you're talking, well, when you're looking
you're
at
right.
ratings, yeah. nowadays for sporting events, can you gamble on this? Well, people can gamble on the Pro Bowl right now, but the product's so bad, you just feel like, well, I say the product's so bad, it's so non-competitive that you're worried about, okay, you're basically saying who's going to try harder in this game, and that's who I would bet on for this game if you're a sports fan and you're a gambling sports fan. And I think if you can make it some way that there's a gambling aspect of that out there, especially if it can be something live and kind of ongoing competitions, then maybe that's the case.
Yeah, it could be something as simple as a poker tournament where these guys sit down and play for charity, you know, try and win money for their charity, that kind of thing. But I get it. It's an interesting idea, and it would come down to, like you said, if you could get these guys out of their element, force them to be teammates doing something none of them are akin to doing, it does make for an interesting television program. It would all come down to this. And if you can gamble on it, you know somebody's going to be watching, right? I mean, whether it's – you can gamble on poker as well, I guess. You can gamble on the gamblers. But I think that's an interesting take by you. I hadn't thought about something that people could lay money on. That
– right.
That opens up a world like a cornhole tournament or something.
Yeah, and to me, there's got to be – to me, I would assume that they want to stay in the football realm. I'm actually starting to like Chad Johnson and Chad Ochocinco's idea more and more in the sense that you put headsets on Deion Dawkins. Well, he won't be in it, similar to what the caller was just saying. He won't be in it, but you put – headsets on these entertaining offensive linemen who are sitting on the sideline cracking jokes on the guys on the field. And there's where you get some comedy involved, some, you know, just some organic content out there as well.
Right. And then, you know, we've got some other people chiming in as well, which is some interesting stuff. And you could put this, do it like an old Battle of the Network Stars where you have an obstacle course and a swimming competition and a home run derby and all the stuff that you can do. Tons of stuff you could possibly do. We're going to take a break. It's right at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We're going to re-rack what Josh Allen had to say during the last 10 or 15 minutes. We'll play all of Josh Allen stuff. We'll also try and get in a little bit of Jordan Phillips, who was at the microphone today as well. Eric Wood, Steve Tasker here, One Bills Live. This is Buffalo Bills Radio presented by Collider Health. We'll be right back.
Tasker, who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Eric Wood. We're going to send you to Josh Allen's media day, media availability today. It takes about 14 minutes. We're going to take you right to the podium where just a few minutes ago, Josh Allen began speaking with the media. We're going to take you back to the beginning and show you that session in its entirety. Here's Josh.
As you guys come together on the field for OTAs, going back to last week for just a second here, how much of an impression did that leave in to maybe you as a group of players have a bit of a different perspective as you get back to the business?
I mean, absolutely. You know, I think our team and our organization, you know, handled that with the community in heart and in mind. So for us to kind of do that again, I was proud of our turnout. We had a guy, Stephon Diggs, who really hadn't been here up until this point for OTAs, fly in just for that day and then fly out. Because it meant that much to him. So in terms of guys showing up and doing what was right, it was very good to see. And again, it's not just one thing that we're going to do and forget. We got to continue to bring them up and keep them in our thoughts and prayers and understand that it's going to take time to get through it.
So Josh, what are your thoughts on your position coach Brady?
I love Joe. He brings a lot of juice. He's been great in meetings so far. You know, he's got a lot of knowledge of the game. He's been in a lot of different places with some really good quarterbacks. So to have somebody in the room that's been there and done that, it's awesome. He loves The Office, which, again, we're able to kind of relay some jokes off each other. And it's just such a good vibe. We've got a really good quarterback room. Top down, we got Mark Lubick in there as well. And then, you know, bringing in Case and bringing back Matt. It's very good vibe in there, and you know, we got our scramble team tomorrow in a golf tournament. Me, Matt, Case, and then Tommy Sweeney. He's an honorary quarterback. You know, I think he's an honorary everything, Tommy. So we're excited to get out there tomorrow. Yeah, it's been different, and you know, the last 3 years I've had him in the meeting rooms every day. You know, and it's going to take time. Like, even today, I was just like, hey, I want you talking to me in the headset and just let me hear in your voice. And because that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment and curve. And when you talk into a microphone, it sounds a little different, and some words become different words, and you got to decipher what that means. And so even that, we can find a way to get better. And, you know, but in terms of what he's doing, how he communicates with the guys, getting on guys and lighting some fires, it's been good to see. You know, he's played quarterback. He understands what it's like when we're back there. So to have that open relationship and the rapport with him, and then for him to understand what we're seeing at the same time and not just expecting us to do something that, you know, he hasn't or he wouldn't do, I think is the main, you know, the most important thing, and he's been doing a really good job with it.
So along those lines, you know, in terms of adjustment, as opposed to maybe adjusting to someone completely different from the outside as your new offensive coordinator, how much carryover in terms of the relationship that you've built with Ken plays into whatever adjustment there is with him?
No, huge amount. And like I said, to have him, I've been in the room with him the last 3 years, and, you know, he knows my likes and my dislikes, you know, just by being in the room with me, and I know his, and for him to step up, and like I said, when we first got him to be the offensive coordinator here, I couldn't be happier. You know, just knowing that the verbiage, the terminology, the competitive spirit that he and I share, it's a very, very good fit, and I'm excited for him to call some live plays for us.
Josh, understanding that these are voluntary workouts in May, we've still got a long way to go. What are like some of the little things you're working on, little tweaks that you want to make in this particular part of the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, main thing is still limiting turnovers, limiting bad decisions. and then ball placement on some of the underneath routes, allowing guys to get more yak. You know, last year I don't think we were very good in that department, so it's kind of on me to put the ball where it needs to be and allow our guys to utilize their legs and run after catch. So, again, I think those are the two most important things, and still just trying to develop that relationship with Dorse and understand why he's calling certain things in certain situations, and that comes with live reps. So we'll continue to build on that as the days go.
Kind of along the lines of that, you talked about the continuity of having that relationship with Ken Dorsey already and, you know, building off of that. But what are some of the things that you've noticed that are maybe different? You know, you mentioned him calling plays and talking in the headset, but, like, what else have you noticed that are maybe some differences from the way Dave's did things?
Yeah, I mean, again, everybody's got their own style, their own flair, in terms of what they want to show, what they want to think, what they want the defense to think they're trying to call. But again, Dave's and Dorse, the one thing that they do share is an extreme competitive nature, and they get fired up in practice, and they start, you know, they start yapping a little bit to the defensive guys, and they want to, you know, they want to call their best stuff. So I'm excited for that. And again, it's going to be a learning process for him as well. You know, we're humans. We're not perfect. We're not expecting each other to be perfect. But as long as we're on the same page, which I think we are, and again, we'll continue to grow with it, you know, I think we'll be just fine.
Josh, I'm always guilty of asking this competing question, so pardon me if I do so again. But when you committed yourself to become a quarterback, and the leadership is just not the leadership that's involved is that comes with the inherent position. How did you know that you had that capability to be able to do that, to be that person? And what's it like to have guys like Von Miller saying, this guy's the guy, he's got it. He's been around the league for quite some time. And to know that that leadership quality is respected by people around the league.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some gratitude there when guys, especially of his caliber, start talking about you that way. But I think if you talk to anybody on the team, they'll tell you, like, I just try to be myself. That's it. I don't try to change who I am, no matter who's around me. You know, I like joking. I like having a fun time. But when the pads get on, I mean business, and I want to do everything I can do to help this team win football games. And when guys can see that from their quarterback, I think that kind of carries over. I'm as selfless as possible. You know, if we run it 40 times a game, if we throw it 40 times a game, if we win the game, I'm still going to be critical of myself after the game and try to find ways that I can be better. And again, I think that's the job of the quarterback. You help win games no matter which way you can. And
that's part of it. You have to be loose sometimes. You just can't. You have to be yourself a lot of times. But the looseness, but having the confidence to go down Jefferson Street and speak to people and interact with people. I mean, where does that come from? Where does that innate ability come from? It's just something that you seem to have.
Don't laugh when I say this, but my dad used to interview me on the way to, preschool, kindergarten, first grade, every day he would drive us to work or drive us to school, and he would sit there and he'd ask questions like he was interviewing us on the side of the field and post-game interviews and stuff like that. So I don't know, I had a lot of practice of that growing up, and just had a lot of good people in my life that have kind of shown me the ropes on how to be yourself and be true to you. And I think that's, again, being a leader, I think the number one quality is self-knowledge and knowing who you are. If you know who you are, or if you don't know who you are, I don't think you can lead a group of men. So knowing who you are first, and then guys will follow.
Josh, you've had Cole here for 3 years. We talked so much over the years about developing that rapport and where that was at the end of those 3 years. How does that slot receiver room look for you right now with Isaiah and Jameson? What work is there?
Well, to that point, you know, Isaiah's been here for 4 years. He's been awesome in terms of wanting to learn the little nuances of the game. I think adding JC is going to be very big for us. You know, just seeing some of the things that he can do, things that he brings to the table, the knowledge that he has helping Isaiah out. So it'll be fun to see those guys on the field. And I'm not sure, you know, how it's going to be packaged. who's going to be on the field at all times, or what case that is, and I guess time will tell. But, you know, we've got a lot of guys with a lot of different abilities, and we'll try to utilize their strengths to the best that we can.
Mike, you're picking up where you left off. What are your impressions on Gabe Davis?
Again, you guys have seen everything about him this offseason. The dude just works. He just works hard. He's a great dude, selfless. He'll run the for the love of the game routes, you know, where he knows he's not getting the ball, but he's attracting a safety and allowing someone else to get open. And, you know, when the play's there to be made, he usually makes them. And that's in turn for his hard work and his resiliency of kind of his first 2 years in the league. And the dude just continues to make some plays and love the guy to death.
You mentioned earlier the quarterback room and having Matt Barkley back. I know you guys are close. What's that meant for you? And what has he meant for you in your career in terms of, you know, assisting you off the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think the continuity in a quarterback room is very important to how guys play, and guys that you can trust and feed different ideas off of, guys that have been around the league and in different systems and know different concepts. It's very helpful. It's very impactful for a game. And then off the field, like I said, just being able to go play golf with the two guys in your room and being able to SDS, you know, it's fun. You know, it's a good feeling. And, you know, the two guys that we got in the room are great vets, and they're great people at the end of the day.
You mentioned golf. Thoughts? I don't know if you'll hear from you before the big match. What are your thoughts heading into it? We saw a little fun between you and Brady the other day.
Yeah. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous. You know, who knows? I don't know if I'll be the best golfer there. I hope to be, but I'll be the best trash talker. I guarantee that. When we're on the course, you know, there's some things I'll have to tone down and try not to cross the line between two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and guys that I've grown up watching. But I got to get in their head somehow. So we'll see what we can do.
Outfit. That's a big talking point is the outfit. Do you have that picked out too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got some good Nike gear. They've hooked me up pretty good. We got some custom cleats. I think Bill's Mafia is going to like the bag that I'm throwing on my cart. So it'll be fun.
Is it different being nervous about this, like this, because it's not your support, as opposed to going into the AFC Championship?
Absolutely, it's a whole different racket. Like when you're on the first tee, and I've played in a couple of these tournaments now, where there's people, and you get up and you're shaking uncontrollably, and you got to figure out, and you usually start swinging a little faster when there's people involved, and that's when the slices come. But you know, hopefully my experience in playing in some of those can help. But again, I haven't played in something where it's going to be nationally televised with an earpiece in my ear and hearing those guys talk and understand that there's going to be a lot of people watching. So, it'll be a learning adjustment. Those guys are older and they've been in a couple of these, so they've got the experience in that and the hand up in that. But, you know, me and Pat, we got the youth on our side.
How much have you talked to Pat?
Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit actually, and I don't think it's going to be weird at all. You know, we get along extremely well outside of football. We get a lot of respect for each other inside of football and on the field. But I think that me and Pat will have a better rapport than those other two guys that have been, you know, fighting and clawing against each other for the last, you know, 18 years, where me and Pat are just starting to go at it. So I think the relationship is in a better spot than theirs is, and we'll be happy to see each other's putts go in, where I don't think the other guys are going to be happy when the other guy makes a putt. You know, they're going to be the one that wants to make it. So, you know, it'll be very fun. Again, I'm extremely excited for the opportunity for that.
Was it difficult at all seeing over Tommy on the interior?
Yeah, it's weird to see that big of a dude on the inside. But guys step up. And, again, Tommy was great for us last year. Just in terms of the rookie presence and knowing what he was supposed to know, you know, him catching a touchdown in the divisional round, or was it the wild card round or against the Patriots? He caught the touchdown, and he's a great presence. And again, the dude's smart. He does his job, and when guys go down, people step up, and he's been stepping up.
Prepare your trash talk for the match, or does it just come to you in the moment?
You can only prepare so much, I think. There's certain situations that arise where I think you got to be quick on your feet and a little witty, and I think I've had a lot of experience with that. So, yeah, I just got to be careful. I got to be careful what I say.
Speaking of good guys, Jordan Phillips got it down really
fast. Who's that?
what is it like seeing him back on the line? What does he add to that?
Well, I'm going to love it when the season starts. I'm going to hate it right now and in training camp because, again, he's a big old dude. He's over there laying down right now listening, hoping I say something nice about him, acting like he doesn't care. He cares. Yeah. No, again, I'm going to hate him for these next couple weeks. I'm going to hate him in training camp, but when we start going against some other guys, I'm going to be sure glad that he's on our team.
That was Josh Allen a little earlier with the media here with as OTAs get underway. Eric, what a lot's going on. Just a full disclosure, I spent all afternoon, most of the day yesterday with Josh shooting commercials, and I was asking him, and you get a sense of how stinking busy these guys are. They're pulled in a million different directions. Everywhere he goes, it's an event for whoever's there. And he's handling it really well. And I think, like you know, all the stuff that goes on in the offseason with the draft and with all this other stuff, and particularly for these superstar quarterbacks like Josh is, it's a relief to get on the field and start playing football.
You're right, and that's part of the reason that these guys don't want to go play in the Pro Bowl.
That's right.
Back to our previous point, they're getting pulled in so many different directions. These marketing deals are so huge for these guys nowadays that – A guy like Josh Allen could be doing something every single weekend of the year. He was actually potentially going to come down with Jim for the Kentucky Derby, and then it was an F1 appearance that weekend. And it's just every single weekend. Plus, he's at the age now where his friends are starting to get married. There's bachelor parties, and all of that are going to hit in the offseason. I can't imagine how a guy like him has to manage a schedule. I knew how hard it was for me, and I was not getting pulled in one-tenth of the direction right. that a guy like Josh is. And that's where you got to be truly selfish with your time. You know, I follow him and his girlfriend on social media, and you know, you see them take trips where it's just them, the two of them, or maybe a couple other couples, or maybe just family. You've got to be selfish with your time if you're Josh Allen, because otherwise it'll get away from you really quick.
Yeah, and you really have to – you know, you kind of got to keep a lid on it, because as busy – as you get, you also got to know your priority one is the Buffalo Bills and the team, the guys in the locker room, and you got to keep producing on the field so that all that stuff takes place in the offseason. And you're right too. Your personal life sometimes it takes a huge backseat even, and your support staff is Josh. He's got his family and his girlfriend, and I met his dog yesterday, so he's kind of got this stabilized environment away. But they his girlfriend, his mom, his dad, his siblings, they have to be there knowing that Josh has got this thing he's got to do. Everything has to be set aside for it, and they got to kind of pick up the slack for him, right? He's got a publicist. Yeah. They got to kind of wrangle all the appearances and schedule and keep him up to date on it. It's rough. That's the wrong word for it. But it's a handful to do and to keep everything in perspective and make sure that the main thing stays the main thing.
Right. So I used to talk about in the NFL or in pro sports or just being a celebrity in general, there's an access of fame and money that comes with it. And as long as you're making really good money like Josh is, the fame that comes with it, not being able to go anywhere in public without it turning into an appearance, it's justified. That's why you get paid to be that way. The problem is, well, and I will say, you know, left tackles that make $20 million a year nowadays, they can generally walk through an airport. And besides being bigger than most people don't know who those guys are. If Josh Allen walks through a commercial airport, he's going to be stopped by people at every single gate, not just the gates from Buffalo or Clovis, California, Fresno, California, where he's from. I can walk around an airport, and unless I'm flying in and out of Buffalo or Louisville, there might be a Bills fan or two, and that's great. It's pleasant. It's not pleasant when it's every single interaction and you can't move anywhere. So as long as you're on the proper end of that access, which Josh is, that access, then it's okay. But we used to joke, like, Tim Tebow, now he's monetized his name, image, and likeness very well now. But at the time when he was making very low money in the NFL, but was one of the top superstars in the NFL as far as people recognizing him, that's on the wrong end of the axis.
Right, yeah. But that's, you know, it's kind of the way the marketplace works, though. It's more about it's your celebrity and the amount of it. I'm with you. I'm kind of – here in Buffalo, I'm kind of part of the furniture, right? People are like – they call me my first name. I love it. It's perfect. It's, you know, it's why I love Buffalo so much. I feel like I've got, you know – the whole city of Buffalo is kind of my family, right? And they treat me like that, which is awesome. It's a gift. It's not when, you know, it's different when you're a rock star. It's a different kind of celebrity, right? Being part of the family is different than being the rock star. So for you and I, it's a little bit more on the end where it's manageable and it's absolutely pleasant to, yeah, somebody wants, yeah, can you sign my hat? Yeah, sure. You know, because it happens like twice a week. For Josh, it happened, he can't even get gas, you know?
Right.
He can't even go to the store and buy a loaf of bread, right? Because it turns into a two-hour ordeal. So it's something he has to manage, and you get a little bit of an idea of it when you hear him in these off-season interviews, particularly with this thing, the match coming up with Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, and Josh. It's going to be really interesting to see how that all flies and how he handles it. But he seems, even now, he's been at it now for well over, 2 years he's probably been at this level, something like that. And he seems to be flying along just fine. I think that's kind of the plus that I see from it. It's becoming second nature to him, and he still handles it extremely well.
Yeah, and talking about the match briefly, so we've got to witness Mahomes and Josh Allen both play in the they'll play in the Tahoe tournament every year. Brady and Rodgers have experience in this match format. Now, so I've seen them all play. I have played once with Josh personally, but the other guys, I've just seen them play in these nationally televised tournaments. Is this a handicapped event, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers versus Mahomes and Josh? Because
I think it's scratched.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, the betting odds have to be way in favor of Brady and Rodgers. One, they have more experience in these tournaments, and two, their handicap's got to be 6 or 7 shots lower than each of them.
Right. Yeah, that it's interesting. Yeah, the golf aspect of it, and let's face it, Eric, I mean, I know people will always gamble on it, but really nobody cares about the golf. I want to hear these guys talk to each other. I want to hear these guys compete face-to-face, voice-to-voice, when they're on the field, because they never get a chance to be on the field together, right? You never get to see them lean on each other. Or throw the football to one another or any of that stuff, but you get a chance to watch them compete face-to-face with guys who do the exact same thing they do and plus or minus with a different skill set. So the golf, to me, is irrelevant, except that who has, at the moment, more ammunition to talk smack to the other two guys, the guys on the other team, right?
Yep. And one thing I really like about these, and I flirt between a 5 and a 7 index, so you're considerably better than me, Steve, but when you watch a tournament on the weekends, you're not going to see many bad shots. Now, Justin Thomas cold hard shanked one last weekend. He still ends up winning the PGA Championship, but you're not going to see a lot of bad shots. I like watching these celebrity tournaments and watching guys hit some bad shots. And then, of course, in the match, when it was when Brady was playing and it was raining down at Medalist.
Yeah, with Tiger, yeah. Phil, and Peyton.
Peyton Manning. Yeah. Of course, Brady duffs one. So now he's hitting his third shot from the fairway, and he drains it. I'm like, of course.
Right.
But it was fun to watch him duff a shot. You can put yourself in his shoes, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I think it's great exposure for Josh. I love how he talked about the city of Buffalo will like what it's on his golf bag. Like, I'm not saying that Josh has embraced this town more than any other quarterback around the league, but when Tom Brady's played in these in the past, his bags aren't around the Buccaneers or the Patriots. Aaron Rodgers, same way. Josh Allen, like, is so Buffalo, and maybe that's what has made him such – you know, we talk about how busy his schedule is. Part of that is – embracing the culture of Buffalo and really feeling at home in the community. I know they're building a house there. It's special what Josh has become in that community. And when you look at that 2018 draft class and you look at the 5 first round quarterbacks and you look at them now, I mean, holy smokes. Thank God we got Josh Allen. And Lamar Jackson's won a league MVP. He's my guy. He's from Louisville. But what Josh is a player on the field and what he is in the community, I mean, name a quarterback over the last 10 years drafted that you'd rather have.
Right. Eric Wood, Steve Tasker, we're here till 3 o'clock. After the break, we're going to get a take a call from Brian in Sanborn. He's got another idea for the Pro Bowl. We're also going to hear from Bills defensive tackle Jordan Phillips, who spoke to the media just a few minutes ago. Steve Tasker, Eric Wood, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Live, Steve Tasker, Eric Wood here with you until 3. We've been talking a lot about, you know, we've had some live sound from Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. We're going to hear from Jordan Phillips in a moment. We've also had this ongoing conversation about how they should change the Pro Bowl and why it needs to be changed. We've got an idea from one of our listeners. This is Brian in Sanborn. Brian, thanks so much for hanging on. We really appreciate it. What's on your mind and what's your idea for the NFL Pro Bowl?
Hi, guys. I really appreciate you guys. Been fans of yours for a long time. Well, I was thinking that we could do something like an NFL con, much like a Comic-Con or something like that. There'd be a great lot of opportunities for fan interactions. There could be panels, meet and greets. You could still incorporate skills competition or 7-on-7s or like a pro-am golf tournament. It'd just be an opportunity, like a long weekend or something, for fans and players to get together and look, for fans to see some of their heroes, you know, from the field.
Yeah, and I get that too, and I've thought a little bit about that. We've thought about like the Micah Hyde charity softball game, a pro-am golf tournament, and it's called the Pro Bowl. You have these guys go in for a bowling tournament too. I mean, who cares, right? Everybody can roll a ball, and if they stink, it doesn't matter anyway, you know. So there's a lot of things they could do, cornhole tournaments. There's a lot of stuff they could do that wouldn't tax these guys or risk these guys to go out on a field and play in a football game. You got to – but Eric and I have made the point and noted that – and thank you, Brian, I appreciate your call. We've noted that it's got to be interesting for people to watch because right now – and let me just put this in perspective. Last year, the Pro Bowl got its lowest television rating, maybe ever, and it had exactly the same amount of viewers as Game 2 of the Western Conference semifinals between the Mavericks and the Warriors in playoff NBA game. There were 6.7 million people watched this Pro Bowl that stunk, and that's the same amount that watched an NBA playoff game. I mean, if the NFL is not going to say goodbye to that revenue, they're going to put something on that people want to watch. And whatever that may be, nobody really cares what it is because people are going to want to watch it. And the more interesting you make it, the bigger the number is going to be.
Right. And guys, fans of the teams want to tune in and watch their guys. So you're going to get naturally those diehard fans of the teams. And then it's how do you capture the casual NFL fan and then also the betting crowd, as we talked earlier.
Yeah. I mean, that's gambling now that it's legalized in so many places has opened a door of revenue, obviously, for the league to partner with, you know, reputable gambling institutions and the way it all works, and it's readily available for everybody, and it's a great way for people to pique their own interest. You don't have to bet a lot of money, but if you bet even a quarter of, you know, 25 cents, you're going to be more interested in the game, right? I mean, you're going to watch it because, hey, am I going to win a dollar for my quarter? That kind of thing. I mean, it's that simple. So, you know, and it's literally at this point, Eric, they say it a lot, but it really is true. I think the league is almost at a point where it's a blank slate. They'll listen to any idea. And they listen, they're killing it by broadcasting the combine. The combine. There's no right competition there. It's PE class. And they're pulling down a huge number. So they just need something to give it a pulse, and hey, they'll put it on television, right? And I mean, that's the way I see it. Whatever it is, they don't care what it is, but it's going to pull a number, and the better it is, the bigger the number.
Right. And the combine is structured to be, you know, just another stepping stone through the offseason where you can draw a bunch of eyes into the TV, similar to the draft. the schedule release. It's all strategically placed now so that you capture those eyes. Well, the Pro Bowl is strategically placed too. It's a week before the Super Bowl. It's during that off week. So you have that Sunday. There's nothing else that's going to rival it on that Sunday. Put something out there. What it is exactly, obviously, there's enough conversation around it that they're saying what we're doing now, although it's capturing 6.7 million eyes, we can improve upon that and make it more interesting. To me, the best one so far, and maybe it's because I grew up a Bengals fan and I loved Chad Johnson when he was wearing number 85 for the Bengals. Maybe that's why, but I like his idea probably the best.
Yeah, having the old timers come in and play a flag football game against the new guys, it might be that you make it a window. You know what I mean, Eric? The guys who are waiting for their 5-year window for the Hall of Fame to open up, guys within that window can come back and play. And, you know, they can do it for 5 years and then they're out and the new five guys come. You know what I mean? New 5 years keeps rotating through.
And heck, if you extended it further than that, there's a lot of guys that didn't make the type of money these guys make nowadays. Right. They would be excited for the opportunity to collect another paycheck and go out for the game, be able to bring their family back around the Pro Bowl. That would be a lot of fun for guys. If you take that full Pro Bowl roster, now you don't even have to play in as much of the game. So you probably get better effort because you have both the AFC and the NFC on the same 7-on-7 squad or whatever you call it. And so, to me, that seems like the best idea. I will say this, for as big of a joke as the Pro Bowl has become, to be able to say that you're a 5-, 6-, 7-, 8-time Pro Bowler still means a lot to players in the NFL.
Yeah.
And for every Tom Brady and Josh Allen that has skipped the Pro Bowl, there's guys like myself who only made one, and I was an alternate other times, but I only make one Pro Bowl. And to me, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget sitting around. And yes, we're abreast of the situation. We know if we made it before the NFL Network does the big release of the Pro Bowl rosters. But I'll tell you this, it still means a lot to many players in the NFL.
It meant a lot to me. It really does. And you're right. It's part of your bio as an NFL football player, how many of those you got to. Eric Wood, Steve Tasker, we're here just till the top of the hour. We're going to take a minute right now to listen to Jordan Phillips. He had some words with the media today. Sean McDermott referred to Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson as making sure that practice is never quiet. These guys talk a lot, and Jordan Phillips spoke to the media just a few minutes ago. Here's Jordan.
It's like I never left. It's a good time. I'm enjoying myself.
So how important is it going into your second stint? How important is it for you to be more vocal, you know, with this new defensive lineup?
From the first time I was here, I was kind of the young guy, and it's weird now because now I'm kind of the old guy. So we got to just trying to spread the knowledge, what I do have. But our guys in our room, the ability that we have is just unreal. Between AJ, Ed, Greg, Boogie, you know, just the guys, and it's just Vaughn. It's crazy, DQ, how much talent we have. So it's really just, we just need to come together fast and get it going.
How do you do that at this point without pads on, without the contact? It's a little different for guys in the interior. How do you develop that chemistry and speed up that process?
Well, luckily, I've been rushing with Ed, and it's just like we've still been doing what we've been doing, so it's been easy for us too. And then we just incorporate the rest of the guys. Vaughn got here today, so we see how he rushes, and we start working into what he likes to do. I mean, he's a premier passer rusher in the league, so you kind of got to, you know, not taking second hand to him, but you know what I mean? Just do what you do, and I'm going to work off you, you know what I mean? So just one of those things.
What is it like working with a guy like
Vaughn? You know, he's two-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. Whatever he says, you listen to it. He has a lot of leadership, and he also works hard, so it's easy to do. You know, it's not like you got anything, and you can't say anything bad about him. Whatever he says, you know, he's been there, he's done it, and he's the best of the best.
You said it was like you never left, and you specifically mentioned Ed Oliver and kind of rushing alongside of him. From the time that you left back in 2019, how have you seen Ed's game grow, and are there any particular areas where he has made strides that you notice out here?
I wouldn't say, let me change that. First off, I think Ed's matured a lot, and I think that's what's helped his game the most. Everybody's already always known that he's going to be a top guy. He was picked number 9 overall for a reason. And now his maturity with the way he plays and the way he's understanding the game is what's helping him. He's always – talent's never been an issue. And now he has – not only does he have the work ethic, he has the mind to go with it.
And the same thing left here in Josh was still – I mean, it was lower on his trajectory than where he is now. From afar, what do you make of what Josh Allen has done with his team and just his abilities as you see him from afar –
Just like he just said, Josh is just a guy, and I think that's the biggest thing in a locker room. People aren't scared to talk to him. He's one of the highest paid players in the league, and he just, you know, he doesn't act like that, you know what I mean? And that's just, that goes a long way with everybody in the locker room. And when people do get to that status that he is, they change. And like you said, he hasn't changed. He does what he does, and he's great at it.
Challenge with new pieces coming together at this time of the year, but having gone through what you all did as a team last week and supporting the community, and the answer to this probably goes far beyond football, but how does that bring a group together maybe?
For the most part, you know, tragedies happen, and in the weirdest way possible, and I don't even know if I can say this, but it just brings people together, and it brought the community together. It lets people be themselves and be raw with each other, especially as men. You get to see a side of emotions and I don't even know how to say that. Just bring everybody together. I guess that's the best way to say it. Like you see everybody's true self.
That was Jordan Phillips just a few minutes ago. We had a chance to talk to him. Tomorrow, I think we're going to have a little bit of Greg Rousseau and what he had to say today. We're going to take a break. Eric Wood, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Steve Tasker, Eric Wood here in One Bills Live. Just to wrap up our Pro Bowl conversation, just before we hit the end of the show here, let's take one last call from Eddie in Cheektowaga. Eddie, you're on with Eric Wood, Steve Tasker on One Bills Live. You got an idea about the Pro Bowl. Let's hear it. Eddie, turn your radio down. Eddie's out. I'm not going to wait on Eddie. We got no time. Eric, what? I guess the last thing we're going to talk about is the stuff we're hitting with OTAs, the Pro Bowl we've talked about and all the good ideas. But OTAs, I've said this a ton. These guys come out and the young guys are here, and I got a chance to watch them. There's some guys out there that got some ability, some young players. They're not going to make the team this week in OTAs, but I just reminded myself, you can still get cut at OTAs. So the guys really do have to show up and give them their best effort, even though no decisions are going to be made this week about who's going to be here or who's not.
You're exactly right. And especially for the guys up front, there's not a ton of contact during this time. There's probably more than you think, and it's a little bit more physical up front than you'd probably think without wearing pads, because you still got helmets on, and there's still guys that assume they can make the team during this time. They certainly don't want to get cut, to your point. But for the guys up front, maybe not as applicable, but for the guys on the outside, the timing with the receivers, getting on the same page defensively, because everything, you know, we hear from Sean McDermott all the time, it's generally a one-man breakdown that someone's got to cover for them. And as long as it all works in sync on defense, then no one really notices. But when they're out of sync, which you can really get to during this time, then you can have that number one defense in the league like the Bills did last year.
Eric, thanks so much for being on the show. Appreciate you taking time out to be with us. Tomorrow, Matty Glab is going to be on with me. We're going to have some sound from Greg Rousseau. Deion Dawkins is also going to talk. Eric Woods, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Look forward to this season. We'll be back. One Bills Live tomorrow. See you then.